This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Of a particular battle that they were caught and they were detained, and in that there was a woman who had lost sight of her child, and she started pacing aimlessly. And finally, after running and pacing, she caught sight of her child and she embraced the child. She was a captive. She was a detainee. But as soon as she held a child, it was such a bonding. It was so warm. It was so affectionate. It was so emotional. There wasn't a dry eye there. Everybody was moved to tears. And the Prophet of Allah observed this. And I often mention this when I address teachers or parents or guardians or workshops, that when we mold in and guide in our children, we might have a curriculum before us. But often the moment presents with an opportunity, and momentarily we have to put the curriculum on hold and seize the moment and exploit the moment and communicate the message of the time. When the Prophet of Allah seen everybody was moved to tears, there wasn't a dry eye, he infiltrated, he seen a niche. He said, أَتَرَوْنَ هَذِهِ الْمَرْأَةُ طَارِحَةً وَلَدَهَا فِي النَّارِ. Do you folks think, do you people think that this woman will abandon and forsake this child and perhaps drop this child in a fire? No, O Prophet of Allah, never, ever. What love, amazing, unbelievable, inconceivable, love beyond description. لَاللَّهُ أَرْحَمُ بِعِبَادِهِ مِنْ هَذِهِ بِوَلَدِهَا. I swear by Allah, Allah is more kind to His bondsman than this woman is to this child. Now we learn two things. Look at the love the mother had for the child, and look at the opportunity. The hearts were soft. The hearts were soft. It was the ideal time to make a profound impact and grave a deep message. And it makes of a good parent, and it makes of a brilliant teacher, that he finds the right time and he strikes. Sahaba are sitting outside. It's a bright moonlit night. They're admiring the atmosphere. It's cool. It's relaxed. Look at the moon. It's so beautiful. إِنَّكُمْ سَتَرَوْنَ رَبَّكُمْ كَمَا تَرَوْنَ هَذِهِ الْقَمْرِ لَا تُضَمُّونَ فِي رُؤْيَتِهِ. Enjoy the moon. Enjoy the moonlit night. Enjoy this ambience. Trust me, as you enjoy viewing the moon from your respective location, you will be blessed with the countenance of Allah from your respective abode in Jannah. فَآهَنْ لِذِي عَقْلٍ وَيَتْبَعُ الْهَوَىٰ وَآهَنْ لِأَعْمَى الْقَلْبِ وَهُوَ بَصِيرُ. Woe be to the so-called intelligent individual who forsakes his mother chasing temptations. Woe be to that person who is physically sighted but has spiritual blindness of the heart. And really today, if we lack anything, it is spiritual brightness. We might have vision in our eyes and with contact lenses and colorful and cosmetic. We can even camouflage and play with everything and change the appearance, etc. But when it comes to the vision of the heart, فَإِنَّهَا لَا تَعْمَى الْأَبْصَارِ وَلَكِنْ تَعْمَى الْقُلُوبُ الَّتِي فِي الصُّدُورِ. If there is blindness here, then I'm afraid the external vision cannot empower you adequately. And if there is vision here, then the physical blindness will not be a setback. Remember, Abdullah ibn Maktum radiallahu anhu was visually impaired. The shortest independent revelation that came in the Quran was to answer and respond to his query. La yastawi al-qa'iduna min al-mu'minina. Those who sit and those that strive in the path of Allah, they cannot be equal. Abdullah ibn Maktum comes. What about those that are visually impaired? What about those that are physically challenged? And Jibreel descends, غَيْرُ أُولِ الضَّرَرُ, with the exception of those that have some difficulty or disability. وَأَمَّا مَنْ جَاءَكَ يَسْعَى وَهُوَ يَخْشَى فَأَنْتَ عَنْهُ تَلَهَى. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do not ignore the one who comes to you. Allah didn't just say he comes to you, he comes running, passionate, seeking. He wants to acquire from you. Abdullah ibn Maktum radiallahu anhu. So it is the blindness of the heart that paralyzes an individual and not the blindness of the eye and the physical sight. فَدُونَكَ فَرْغَبْ فِي عَمِيمِ دُعَائِهَا فَأَنْتَ لِمَا تَدْعُوا إِلَيْهِ فَقِيرٌ. Prepare yourself and seek all her comprehensive supplications. For indeed you are desperately in need of her du'as. I often make a point to people, and I'm going to remind myself and you. We all search for du'as and prayers, but we need to make a distinction. And hear me clearly, my good brother and sister. We need to make a distinction between the requested supplication versus the earned supplication. So I forsake my mom, I abandon my mom, I neglect my parents, and every day I say, Mom, make a dua for me, make a dua for me. Every parent makes a dua for their children, but some earn their duas. There's a world of difference between the two. Whoever's dua you want in life, have such an effect in his life, win his confidence that you don't have to request him, but make such an impression on him that he cannot possibly forget you in his du'as. That is it. One person came to Hakim al-Ummah, who was this great giant who authored no less than 1,000 books. And he said, please make du'a for me. He says, I make this du'a for everyone. Allahumma kulla khayr li kulli muslimin wa kulli muslima. Allah give goodness to every male Muslim and every female Muslim. He says, no, I want the special du'a. He said, well, then you need to have a special relationship. You need to have a special relationship to earn that special. You have a casual relation and you want a special dua? No. When the Prophet of Allah was by one of his spouses, and Abdullah ibn Abbas, the young boy at that time, he said, how am I going to serve the Prophet of Allah? So he got up by night and he prepared the water for ablution when the messenger was to offer the nocturnal prayer and the tahajjud prayer. And Ibn Abbas himself worked himself, prepared in advance, prepared the water. When the Prophet of Allah got up and he looked at the water, he says, oh wow, this is so amazing. Was it Ibn Abbas? He said, yes. Allahumma allimhu al-kitaba wa ta'wil. Then Allah conferred upon his bosom the sciences of Quran. And it was that prayer that elevated him to the lofty rank of the father of tafsir. He didn't go to sleep and say, when you get up, pray for me. He was up there preparing the water. I'm saying to you, my brother, you want your mom's dua? You want it? When Uwais Qarni earned the dua he earned, what was it? It was because of his diligence to his mom. And beyond, if you look in the hadith, when the Prophet ﷺ told Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, that when you meet him, O Umar, request him to make dua, because his duas are accepted. Now look at the twofold benefit. When you serve in your mom, you earn her duas. In addition to that, the perk of that, the spin of that, the benefit of that is your du'as become accepted. Subhanallah. Every child should reflect over the 9 months of which his mom had to carry him. Sometimes she was afflicted with pain in her back, abdomen and feet. Whilst on other occasions she lost her appetite or suffered insomnia. Just imagine the difficulty she went through. A person once came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. رجل جاء إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال يا رسول الله إني حملت أمي على عنقي فرسخين في رمضاء شديدة لو ألقيت فيها بضعة من لحم لنضجت فهل أديت شكرها فقال لعله أن يكون بطلقة واحدة. O Prophet of Allah, I carried my mom for 6 miles on my back. Not a ride in a car, not a plane ticket, not I bought her a business class a ticket. I physically carried my mom on my back for 6 miles while on my back in such intense heat that if I was to drop a piece of flesh on the ground, it would instantly roast. Have I offset her favors upon me by doing so? I mean, look at the richness of the question. Look at the dialogue. Look at the appreciation. Look at how they engaged. You know, this is the thing that really just captures my curiosity. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As, this great conqueror of Egypt, he's on his deathbed, radiyallahu anhu, and his son Abdullah is next to him. And he says, Dad, my sympathy is over your agony, and may Allah ease the pangs of death. But if you don't mind, and I'm not being insensitive, while you're passing away, can you narrate to me what is it like to pass away? Because once you're gone, it's over. When you're alive and you're hale and healthy, I would never know. But while you're going through that pain, what is it? So without, I'm trying to say, look at what was the nature of their conversations. I mean, what's the nature of our kids and our conversations? Number one, to sit them down is a challenge. And number two, if they talk, you know, it's things that are irrelevant. What I'm saying is not relevant to you, my son. What you are saying is not relevant to me. And bear in mind, I say that with the cap of being the father of 3 adolescent kids. So I'm hands-on with what's happening. You know, it's not easy. It's challenging. The other day, I was taking a little swim with my kids in the pool. And I said, this is so nice. It's family time. And he says, no, but Abu, you must get the latest phone. You know what? You can take images under the water. I'm like, no, man. Can we have a techno-free zone? Can we be free of technology, water? Can we just enjoy water in its purest form and just have time together and just bond? And again, it's all revolving around technology, gadgets and devices. And Abdullah radiallahu anhu said, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As said to his son, كَأَنَّ جِبَالَ الدُّنْيَا فَوْقَ صَدْرِي. Oh my son, it is like the mountains of the entire world are exclusively resting on the chest of your father. And then he slips into a coma. And then he gets up. And then the son whispers again, Dad, may Allah be... And who are we talking of? We're talking of Amr ibn al-As. Fatihul Misr, the man who conquered Egypt. And I feel like I'm breathing from the eye of a needle. I'm gasping for breath. And then he said those amazing du'as. اللهم لا قوي فأنتصر ولا بريء فأعتذر ولا منكر ولا مستنكر بل مستغفر اللهم إنك أمرتنا فعصينا ونهيتنا فمنتهينا ولا يسعنا إلا عفوك. Oh my Lord, the time has finally come. And yeah, I have to meet you. And you told me a lot of things, and tragically I didn't comply. And you told me to abstain, and I didn't abstain. And my hope is in your mercy. Allah, I'm not strong that I'm going to resist the angel of death. And I'm not innocent that I'm going to speak about my innocence. I admit, I concede, I confess, I just apologize. And then he took his last breath. What did the Prophet of Allah say to this young man? Did he offset? Perhaps it would only equate to a fraction of her labor pain. Oh my word. Perhaps it would only equate to... And you know what's the best part of it? When your mom is going through this pain, you're unaware. You know, this is the challenge of life, is that when you, by the time you realize and you understand what she went through, either when you've become a parent and your wife had to experience the pain or somewhere else, by that time, either you have your parent or she's moved on. By the time realization dawns upon us and we mature these challenges and it dawns upon us, sometimes it's too late. In the couplets above, the word ghusas has appeared, which literally translates as discomfort, panic, and the feelings of helplessness one experiences when an object gets stuck in one's throat. Allah the Almighty describes the food of the occupants of hell in the Quran using the same phrase, إِنَّ لَدَيْنَا أَنْكَالًا وَجَحِيمًا وَطَعَامًا ذَا غُصَّةٍ وَعَذَابًا أَلِيمًا. Verily we have in store for them in hellfire handcuffs, the blazing fire, food that gets stuck in the throat, that cannot be swallowed because of its terrible taste and texture, and a painful punishment. The usage of this word in the poem only provides a partial understanding of how our mothers place their lives on the line during childbirth. Tragically, the average youngster today feels burdened to take his mother shopping and patiently wait for her to complete her chores. Yet how many times didn't our mothers patiently bear with our interruptions, which would disrupt her routine? She was never embarrassed to change our diaper in public, nor ashamed to answer our naive and foolish questions. The poet also highlights the first bed of this infant. It was soft, gentle, and therapeutic. The most exciting feature of this bed was that it was mobile. It was nothing other than her welcoming arms and loving lap. During infancy, if she discovered that we were experiencing any pain, she would keep vigil by our side. The slightest cough or sniffle would agonize her, leaving her more restless than us. It is therefore our duty to serve her with our health, wealth, and resources. There is an amazing incident recorded in the books of hadith regarding Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu and his diligent service to his mom. Listen to this. And Muhammad ibn Sirin, قال بلغت النخلة في عهد عثمان ألف درهم فعمد أسامة بن زيد رضي الله عنه إلى نخلة فعرقها فأخرج جمارها فأطعمه أمه فقالوا ما يحملك على هذا وأنت ترى النخلة قد بلغت ألف درهم قال إن أمي سألتنيه ولا تسألني شيئا أقدر عليه إلا أعطيتها. Muhammad ibn Sirin, you know, was Muhammad ibn Sirin, he was a great tabi'i, he was a student of Sahaba. Muriq al-Ajali said, ما رأيت أحدا أفقه في ورعه ولا أورع في فقهه من ابن سيرين. ما رأيت أحدا أفقه في ورعه. I didn't see anybody who had a greater understanding of jurisprudence in his piety. Sometimes we act pious, but we don't know what is actually pious. Sometimes we do things which are not necessarily confirmed by the teachings. We perceive it to be. So we lose the balance. So I did not see anyone who had a greater understanding in his piety. وَلَا أَوْرَعَ فِي فِقْهِهِ. Nor did I see someone who feared Allah more in his verdict before pronouncing a ruling. He wasn't just casual, he wasn't just, you know, easy in issuing a fatwa or passing a verdict. The balance, the understanding of jurisprudence in his piety, and the piety in his verdict than Muhammad ibn Sirin. So what does Muhammad ibn Sirin mention? Muhammad ibn Sirin reports that the prices of date palms had soared during the reign of Uthman radiallahu anhu to the value of 1,000 dirhams. Despite the revenue it could generate, Usama bin Zayd cut the core of the date palm and gladly presented it to his mom. People frowned on his practice and inquired from him, "What makes you do this when you are well aware of the dividends the date palm can provide you with if you were to sell it later?" He replied, "I did so simply because my mom requested me to provide her with it. And honestly speaking, there is nothing that she requests me which I am able to honor and execute, but that I diligently comply." You know what, mom, just hang on. I'm busy with an important phone call. I'm doing a shipment from China. Just bear with me. No. That shipment can happen, and that container can come later, and the documents can be, you know what, delivered later. And we can answer that, my mom is calling me now. My paradise. The barka of my mom is more than the deal striking. Listen, sir, I mean, in a meeting, that's afterwards. I need my mom's prayer now. I need my mom's dua. There is yet another beautiful incident mentioned in Makarim al-Akhlaq. Just look at our time is running out and we're still busy with this chapter here. قَدِمَ عَلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَفْدٌ مِّنَ الْأَشْعَرِيِّينَ. A delegation from the Al-Ash'ariyin tribe came to meet the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَمِنْكُمْ كَانَتْ وَحْرَى. The Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم inquired, "Was the lady Wahra from amongst you people?" قَالُوا نَعَمْ. They said, "Yes." The Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم then said, "Let me inform you of her inspiring tale. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ أَدْخَلَهَا الْجَنَّةَ بِبِرِّهَا لِوَالِدَتِهَا وَوَالِدَتُهَا مُشْرِكَةٌ. Allah entered this woman into paradise because she diligently served her mother. This was despite the fact that her mother was a disbeliever. But her serving, this woman being a believer, serving her mother, earned her paradise. I mean, we look at the phrase of the Quran that Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam is engaging his father. Ibrahim enjoys the title of Abu al-Anbiya. His father was just not a worshipper of idols, but he was an idol merchant. From the dad's side, there is sternness and hostility and adversity. From the side of Abraham, there's gentleness, kindness, and softness. So Ibrahim is like, "Ya abati lima ta'budu ma la yasma'u wa la yubsiru wa la yughni anka shay'a. Ya abati qad ja'ani min al-'ilmi ma lam ya'tik." Oh my dad, oh my loving dad, oh my beloved dad, oh my adorable dad. And these are all the translations of ya abati, that passion, that affection. Oh my dad, why do you worship things that have no life in it, that have no meaning to it? I'm afraid, my dad, if you persist and you're rigid and you are stubborn on these habits of yours, it might cost you some divine torment. Ya abati, inni akhaf, I'm afraid, an yamassaka azabun min ar-Rahman, that Allah might inflict a torment upon you. Passionate, gentle, loving, caring tone. And what's the response and how does the dad reciprocate? قَالَ أَرَاغِبٌ أَنْتَ عَنْ آلِهَتِي يَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ لَإِنْ لَمْ تَنْتَهِ. If you don't stop blurting what you say, I will stone you, O Abraham. I will kill you. وَهْجُرْنِي مَلِيَّ. Leave me and get out. Again, what does the son respond? سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكَ. May peace be on you, my dad. May peace be on you. سَأَسْتَغْفِرُ لَكَ رَبِّي. I will continue invoking my Lord to guide you and thereby forgive you.